normally don't entitle my message after a grim fairy tale, but that's what the title of this message is going to be. The Pied Piper. I'll call it the Pied Piper. A lot of people, I know I grew up with the fairy tales and all the kind of things like that. And if you understand what the Pied Piper, I don't know how many of you ever took time to really check it out. But the story of the Pied Piper, some of them even say that it's true. I'm not going to go there, but I want to give you the background of the tale because it's going to apply here to what we're going to read. See, what happened was in the town, and this was in the 1286, I think, or 1284 in the 13th century. And the town of Hamelin, Germany, had a rat problem. And if you know much about what world history in that region, that time frame, you know that the bubonic plague was very dangerous. And they were blaming the Jews for that because the Jews were the ones that weren't getting sick and dying from it. But there was a reason for that, because the bubonic plague was actually being caused by fleas biting infected rats and then biting the people. And the Jews took their laws, their cleanliness laws, seriously from the book of Leviticus, and they would wash their clothes and wash themselves in running water. And a lot of people didn't do that back then, and that got rid of a lot of the fleas when they washed that way. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that part of it, but just remember that the Bible's got a lot of rules in it that are good for us. And that's what happened for the Jews. It protected them, even though everybody else thought they were the culprits. But in Hamelin, they had a rat problem, and they were trying to cut down on this danger from the bubonic plague. And so they called this man, and they were wanting to get rid of the rats. And this man had a particular costume. And it was called, the title of it's called the Pied Piper. Now, I always wondered why they called him the Pied Piper. I can understand the part Piper, because he used the flute to lead the people away. But the Pied part is the fact that he would use strips of different colored clothing and sew them together kind of like a pie is cut. And you see the clowns even today have similar costumes like that. Well, that's where they got the term Pied Piper. And this particular man, they called him, and he said, "I can get rid of the rats for you, but I want a nice price. I want you to pay my price to do that." And so the town agreed to it. So he came out and he started playing his pipe, his flute, and all of a sudden all the rats started coming out of town. This is the story now. I'm not saying this happened, okay? But stay with me. And what he did was he led all the rats out of the town following him while he's playing his flute. Well, then he comes back to town. He got rid of the rats. Then the town didn't want to pay. So to get back at the town, he played his flute. And playing his flute, he started luring the children. And the children started following him. And he led the children away from the town. And the tale goes that they actually were drowned or died. He led them in a crevice in the mountain or something. But the Pied Piper, I'm not saying that that Pied Piper is true, but there is a Pied Piper that's alive. A Pied Piper that's doing rather well. A Pied Piper that we see here in this particular passage that is doing exactly what the Pied Piper in the story did. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to start with verse 11 in Isaiah chapter 5. It says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the viol, the tabret and pipe." There's the Pied Piper, huh? It says, "And wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, I just thank you for being so good to me. And Lord, I thank you that you pulled me away from the Pied Piper. And Lord, I just pray for all those that are being drawn in. Lord, help this message. Lord, this is not my message. If it's not your message, we might as well go home now. Lord, we need to hear from you. We need your Spirit to take over and speak to our hearts and convince us of some things that are so prevalent in our world that hardly anybody will believe us. We just ask you to move and do that work that you do so well in our hearts. For it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage. I want to give you a little background of my life. I grew up in the rock era. I liked the rock and roll groups. I went to quite a few rock concerts. And I'm not proud of it. If I could go back, I'd have changed it. Nobody warned me about it. But the culture in which we're accustomed in our church, in our country today, and in a lot of churches, have music that has no place in God's house.
Amen.
It's not God honoring. It's not drawing us and molding us to be more like Christ. In fact, it does just the opposite. It pulls us the wrong way. Satan, he's the Pied Piper. I grew up around the rock culture. I grew up, even went into the bars and things like that when I was a teenager, early 20s, before Sharon and I got married, before we even met. But the truth is, God delivered me. How did he deliver you, preacher? It was a subtle thing. I grew up in church. I knew the songs. The songs we sang this morning, they've been a blessing to me since I was born. But I got away from them. And one of the things that the devil does, and he plays the music, and it's geared that way to pull people from Christ. Everything Satan does is to deceive. The only time he uses the truth is when it plays into his hand. But we see in this particular passage, it says, and I want to share with you some things, because what happened to me was, Sharon was the best thing that happened to me. When I met her, she wasn't listening to rock music. She was listening to some country music, which pulled me back from the rock music, and we moved a whole lot farther from the country music after that. Because the country music today is like the old rock music I grew up with. Now, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just preaching what the Lord wants me to preach. I'm going to share it straight. Because I can honestly tell you, had God not got me out of that secular music stuff, I probably wouldn't have got saved and definitely would not be preaching. Would never have seen the need to go to Bible college. Would have never tried to be the soul winner I try to be. And what I see in this particular passage is it's a trick of the devil. And whether the story of the Pied Piper in Hamelin is true or not, hey, there's a real Pied Piper that's a whole lot more dangerous than anything we could ever imagine.
Great.
And what's he doing? He's using the same thing the Piper did. Using the music. Now, there are some things, and I'll go over it. There are some things you'll find together with the ungodly music. You'll find alcohol. You'll find immoral sex. You'll find perverted sex. You'll find Satan worship. You'll find suicide. You'll find all kinds of drugs and all the garbage that goes along with Satan's tricks and traps. And I know this is, we sang about God's amazing grace. I want to tell you, it's God's grace that got me out of that garbage.
Amen.
And God's grace will get anybody out of it if they turn to Him.
That's right.
But here, I want you to see those things go together. I've got one of my youngins here. I don't think he's ever heard me listen to anything other than gospel music. We used to sing as a family. I've got some recordings of it. I'll blackmail him. But the truth is, hey, I don't regret giving up the devil's stuff. I don't regret it. I want you to know, I wrote a verse to the song that God used to just push me over the edge onto His side was a song by a guy named Bo Cephas, Hank Williams Jr. And Hank Williams Jr. sang a song, "If Heaven Ain't a Lot Like Dixie, Then I Don't Want to Go." And I'm sitting there thinking, I can't sing that. In fact, I rewrote the words. See, my chorus says, "Heaven ain't a thing like Dixie, and Hank, you don't have to go. Heaven ain't a thing like Dixie, my Jesus told me so. Up there there's no more crying, and there's no more dying, and there's no more pain or woe. But if you don't go to heaven, Hank, you won't like where you go."
Amen.
Hey, that's what pushed me over the edge. God got a hold of me, and I'm glad that the Lord laid on my heart to preach this message on this weekend, on this Sunday, because I've been geared up for radio, Landmarks radio station, and Landmarks radio station, 90.3 FM, is one of the greatest tools that God used in my life. Because I can tell you, if it had not been for that radio station, I might not have ever found out about the Bible college. And because I found out about the Bible college and God led me to the Bible college, I was on staff at the college. Then we started a church in Kansas City in 2009. And then the Lord led us back here to start Bible Baptist Church in 2013. But all of that happened because God freed me from that bondage.
Amen.
To the music and the culture that's wrapped around the music.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, I see it in my own family, how it's affecting my family, those I love, those I live around, those I try to witness to, people on the bus that I drive. And this is, it just drives me nuts. Because Satan's so successful. And hardly anybody's preaching against it. But I want to look at these other verses. Let's read verse 11 and 12 again. It says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink." Guess what they're doing? They're chasing after their vice, their addiction. It's got hold of them. Now, I know a lot of people, I'm going to go ahead and share this, because I know a lot of Christians that try to justify the fact that Jesus turned water into wine. I do not, and in fact, I put my hand on the Bible and bet he did not turn it into fermented wine, alcoholic wine, simply because there's nothing. My Bible tells me in Genesis chapter 1 that everything he made was very good. Why would he make rotten wine? What, rotten juice? If he made a bowl of fruit, would he make a bowl of rotten fruit? No. Nor would he, and in the cup, it was not wine. A lot of churches can't get this straight, and they have wine in their Lord's Supper. I don't call it communion, it's Lord's Supper. That's what the Bible calls it. But anyway, the truth is, the reason the bread had no leavening in it, because the leavening is a picture of sin. And Jesus had no sin. That's why the unleavened bread is used in the Lord's Supper. So for Jesus to have fermented wine would say that he's got corruption in his blood, because the wine would be a picture of his blood. But Jesus had no corruption. There was no rottenness. In fact, I don't believe that his body rotted in the grave, because there was no sin in his body. That's what the Bible says, that talks about the sin being the corruption. But I know I'm getting off on the task, but I want us to understand that there's some things that the devil leads us away on. And what we see here is the fact that this world is pulling us the wrong way.
That's right.
And you can't hardly get away from it. You can't even watch a football game without them having scantily clad girls running around and advertising beer. And now we're getting into a culture where not only are they promoting immorality, but homosexuality.
Right.
And it all goes back to my story. Because the Pied Piper had what? Different colored clothes. You think it's an accident? Nah. Satan's a slick devil. He's a scoundrel. He pulls it quick. And for us to pursue something without checking it out first, it's absolutely like driving blind in a storm. Because eventually you're going to hit something. And the devil's got so much in this world that is tricked. Remember, he's the one that blinded the minds of them that believed not. He's the prince of the power of the air. Airwaves, as in music, radio, TV, internet, all those kind of things. That's his realm. He's the what? God of this world. That's all. Those are all Bible titles for him. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the deceiver. He's the one that you cannot trust. And he's the one that puts people in churches that act like they're saved. Bible talks about Jesus talks about the wheat and the tares. I know this isn't one of those hippie type messages, but this is something I feel like, I'll be honest with you, I wept over this message this morning. Because I see the danger. And you see the danger as well. Most of us have felt the danger. We see it in our families. We see it in those we care about. But the truth is, how do we fight it? You fight it, for one, like I did. Just throw the garbage away. We had some old, some of my family, they had an old Beatles record and some Monkey records, and some of you guys remember some of those. Some of you don't have a clue. But we had a nice bonfire. We had a nice pad. Bill's got where the shed is now. We had a pad out there, and I gathered up all that junk. And we might probably be in Acts 19 like they did. They had a bonfire in Acts 19, similar to that. We'll probably be there tonight. But I lit those records. You could almost hear the demons screaming. It burned for a while. I didn't realize that vinyl would burn that long. It burns a while. I did the same thing with some CDs that we found here at the Kingdom Hall. I put them in the burn barrel. They burned a while. I've got some pictures on my phone of them. That's cool. But I want you to know, you've got to cut it loose. You've got to say, that's enough. I don't want the devil influencing me. I don't want him influencing my family. And if my family won't listen to me, at least I can set the example. At least somebody will be standing right with God. At least somebody will have a quick access to the throne. Because what happens is, we're in a culture that's going the wrong way. And one of the reasons it's going the wrong way is they've been taught in school. They haven't been taught the truth about the Bible. They haven't been taught the truth about socialism. They haven't been taught the truth about even the dangers of sex and music and homosexuality and the deceptions of the devil and all these kind of things. And in our world today, you and I are the best chance our families have. Without it, we'll just watch them. Silently watch them destroy themselves. And I can't do that.
Some of you might not know this, but I preached out of this passage. Last time I preached out of this passage was about 5.5 years ago. I guess Brother Redmond and Brother Gary and Bill and Miss Sandra are about the only ones that were in the banquet room. But know where we were in the banquet room. We were right across the hall from the bar. Boy, what a message to preach across the hall from the bar, right? But you could hear the music. You can tell the difference. You know the difference. You could see the different people, the difference that it made in the people. What you and I need to understand is God's got deliverance for you and me. But we got to tie our horse someplace else. We got to get away from that stuff. I know Miss Sandra and I have talked about it, and it's hard sometimes when you go into a store and they're playing that old music that we grew up with, and it brings back those bad feelings. Hey, it's there. It's still there. That's why we'll never have that kind of music in this church.
Amen.
That's why we sing the old songs. Amen. The ones that get you excited about Jesus, not the excited about sin.
Praise the Lord.
The songs that'll build you up. Songs that'll challenge you to be a Christian. Songs that'll encourage you to be a soul winner. I can tell you, listening to the devil's and being influenced by the devil's stuff, it'll take your zeal for souls away. It will. It bothers me that I wasn't more active as a soul winner than when I was younger. But I want you to I'm dealing with something today that it's not easy to deal with. But I want you to look at verse 14. Look at 13 and 14. It says, therefore, my people are gone into captivity. The Lord's talking about his people. He's talking about God's people. I see Christians that are in captivity today because they're caught up in the vices of the devil. It doesn't have to be alcohol. It can be drugs. It can be pornography. It can be, hey, pornography is a bad, bad problem in church and especially in pastors. It has ruined pastors and their ministries. Good grief. Those are things you better stay away from. They're traps of the devil. Keep your children away from them. They're traps of the devil. They will destroy them. How many children get lured into seeing images on TV or on their phone or on the internet, and then somebody contacts them about some illicit sex? We had one right here in Bartow about 3 years ago, 13-year-old girl lured away. Fortunately, they found her in time before anything bad happened to her. But guess what? That's what happens. But it says, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. This church today is not going to be able to say that, because I've armed you with some knowledge that a lot of people won't get ever. Ever. Praise God for those that taught me. And look at what it says, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. And look at this. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. There's a building program going on in hell, because so many people are being deceived. You say, how can we change it, preacher? You be one that, number one, speak up against it. You've got to get rid of it in your life before you can speak up against it. Otherwise, you're going to be playing the devil's game, because he's going to be influencing you. And you know, whenever he influences you, it's not going to be a good thing. He's not going to help you. He's going to hurt you. He's going to hurt those around you. So you got to get rid of it out of your life. If you've got it in your home, I encourage you. Find you a place. If you don't have a place to get rid of it, Bill and I can figure out a place to burn it. We both got pits we can burn. And have, by the way. But the truth is, what we need to do is we've got to be different. God's called us to be different. The Bible says in Jude 22, it says, and of some having compassion, making a difference. You know, you can't make a difference unless you are different. I can't make a difference unless I'm different. We've got visitors here, and I wasn't necessarily looking to unload on them, but it's a message for all of us. It's a message for our culture. It's a message for our country. It's a message for our world. I used to, like I said, I went to some of the rock concerts. I'm not proud of it, I'm ashamed of it, but it's the truth. But I can speak from experience. When I went to the Tampa Stadium, first time I ever went to a concert, I went over there, I was 17, got invited by some friends, walked in. They had the football field wide open. Everybody sleeping on, laying down on the field. You didn't have to light up any drugs. You got high just walking in. I mean, it was that bad. That was 45 years ago. Maybe almost 50. It's gotten worse. So how do we do it? You turned, see right here, it says they were following the deceiver. That's what they were doing. They're following strong drink. They were following Pied Piper. And look at what it says in verse 12, the last part. It says, but they regarded not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. The devil's all about to try to get you to forget about God.
That's right.
And what he's doing and his plan. That's what the devil wants. He doesn't care whether you're more concerned about your sports or more concerned about your hobbies or more concerned about, traveling or whatever it might be. He doesn't care whether you like playing baseball or basketball or whatever it is. He wants to destroy your thought process so you never think about Jesus, so that the Lord can't get tuned into your heart. And when he does that, he's got you. Oh, you might be saved. Had a man years ago, was one of my soul winning partners. Still breaks my heart. He lives in Bartow. But I asked him, he started going to another kind of church. I'll go ahead and say it. It was Church of Christ. They believe you have to be baptized to be saved. They believe you can lose your salvation. None of that's true. So I consider it a cult. And he said, well, the Church of Christ is real close to the house. I said, well, that's a dangerous cult. He said, well, you believe I'm saved, right? I've been saved, and you believe once saved, always saved, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. He said, so there's no problem. I said, oh, yeah, there is. There's something you're overlooking. He said, what's that? I said, your kids aren't saved. As far as I know, they never did get saved. They were 6, 8, 9 years old, I guess, at the time. I know I'm belaboring a point, but I want this message to sink deep into your heart. I want it to be something you keep in mind. When you walk in the grocery store, don't hang around if they're playing the wrong kind of music. And if you need to, get your phone out and put your earbuds in and listen to God's music. Because God will deliver you. I can vouch, I will tell you, 100%. This church would not be here had the Lord not gotten this straight in my life. Amen. That's how important it is.
Amen.
It's that important in your life too. Because your family, because your friends, because those you try to witness to. And the Lord will honor. He will honor. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Amen.
He said, casting all your care upon me, or on him, for he careth for you. I want you to know that's what we need to do as Christians. We need to call on God. Say, Lord, show me what you want me to get rid of. It's not worth hanging on to. If it's going to be a barrier between you and the Lord, even if you are saved. And it might keep you from hearing the Lord on decisions you have to make. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Tough message, but also needful. Lord, I just come before you. Lord, help us to lay at the altar the things that should not be in our life. We need you to remove them. We need you to help us. Lord, thank you. Help us to make those decisions, though tough they may be,
because we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.